This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Time now to bring in, where right now basketball is king, Minnesota. Go T-Wolves, go Neil Kulong.
Oh, what a game seven that was. I'm an early riser. I get up at just an ungodly time. So with that, I go to bed fairly early, and I watched the first half of it. And I was like, okay, I sort of thought this was going to happen. They weren't playing well, weren't looking good. Down a bunch. So I turned it off at halftime, and I'm like, all right, I'll watch the rest when I get up if I can avoid hearing about, you know, what happened when I get out of bed. I look at my phone. I've got 8 text messages. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not feeling like they won, but let's just watch it through here. So I did. I almost woke my wife and daughter up. I was bouncing off the wall. It was just a great second half. Probably not so much for Nuggets fans, but as a Timberwolves fan, it was some of the best basketball we've seen of them, and they're putting it all together now, which is not something we're used to around here. I mean, it literally was 20 years ago the last time they've been in this spot. That's kind of a
yep.
A stretch of futility, to put it mildly. It's hard to even think back how long ago it was when they were in this series. Man, was that fun. And it's still going to be fun, too. This is a winnable series. It's going to be a good one, and we're excited for it.
Yeah, it is going to be a lot of fun, especially when you've waited that long. It's like waiting 86 years for a World Series. Oh, wait, I lived that already. Okay. Okay, so I asked you a question last week. What do you look forward to on a schedule release? Is there something you look for first? You and I went back and forth on it. You said you might look into it further with some other people as to what they look for first. Did you find the time to come up with some of those answers just for the fun of it?
I did, and I jotted down my notes here. I don't know if this is going to be a surprise to anybody else, but I find this interesting. Of the 11 people I spoke to, people responded with, I don't know, I'm not sure, something that sort of expressed the idea that they don't even know what they're looking at. And right. The general sense that I got from people is they look at the whole schedule. Some people, their secondary answer was their week one opponent. Some said how many primetime games they had, or what dates were the primetime games. You know, some people are looking to go to the games themselves or kind of put together their work schedule mm-hmm. with it. But by and large, the answers varied quite a bit from person to person. But generally speaking, it was there wasn't one solid thing. They list off a couple different things if they're taking in the entire schedule just for what it is. Getting a sense of rivalry games, that was a big one. You know, whatever they would play, if those rivalry games were on prime time, I thought that was interesting. That was one of the more specific answers that I got. It seemed like a pretty eclectic group overall, and I would probably put myself into that as well. I noticed, looking at the Steelers schedule when it came out, the first place I went to was week one. Week one opponent, home or away, what they're doing with that. And then it was the rivalry games for primetime. How many of those do they get on primetime? How many are at home? Then I found myself checking out the rivals' schedule. Who are they playing the week before they play the Steelers? Some people felt that was, you know, something of note as well. And then I had a laugh because looking over the Steelers, the juggernaut final eight games that they have, it's almost comical the way that it's set up. But for me, it's like that's not a schedule maker thing. That's, you know, they knew who they were playing. And they have a very, you know, the schedule is balanced as such that if you've got a pretty big hole at some point in your schedule, you've got a real advantage somewhere else. And I think that's what the Steelers have. They, you know, they're three home games in a row, a primetime game at the tail end of that at home, a bye week, and then they're at Washington. That's a pretty nice stretch of games. And the schedule is only so big. You're always playing an NFL team. You're always playing good opponents, in my opinion at least. I know some people don't think that. Some are more winnable than others, but... To face the teams the Steelers are at the end of the season, you got to face them all at some point anyway. Right. You know, the Mike Tomlin often used, or at least it was used back in the day quite a bit more. Iron sharpens iron. You're playing playoff level competition at the end of the season. That's where you're trying to get to anyway. And on top of that, theoretically, if all of your easier opponents are earlier in the season, then you can stack up enough of a record that you play 500 football down the stretch, get you, you know, a ticket to the dance, which is really what you're aiming for here anyway. So overall, I think it kind of, you know, it was a schedule release. they're going to play these teams that we knew about. I don't find that there's great significance in the order in which they play them. And if any team, any fan base should recognize that, it should be the team that last year went 1-2 over the easiest stretch of games they'll ever have ever again. Like they did last season, and rallied behind their third-string quarterback to still qualify for the playoffs. So for me, I don't think it really matters. It all comes out the same in the wash. Whether or not you can get to that maybe 9, but probably 10-win mark, make it to the postseason and take it from there, that's really what it's always about.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I just thought I would ask. I mean, so Netflix will get Christmas. And I think I saw the number. Didn't they pay something like, I don't know, $60 to $80 million a game or something like that, or for the day?
For the day, yeah. They have the two games. I saw 120 between the two games.
120, two games, yep. So, yeah, I said $60 million a game. Yep, $60 million a game.
Yeah.
Yep.
That probably is market value, I would think. I haven't done the math to space it out over the ginormous contract they're giving to the broadcast, but to get two premium games, that price is going to be a little bit higher. And the ones they got are premium games. So, you know, their business, worth the money. I can see why they're doing it. I definitely see why the NFL wants to see whether it's going to work or not, because they'd love to sell off individual games at retail prices, which is what they're doing with Netflix, and kind of sending a message to everybody in that regard. They're not above doing that.
Okay, so why is it that as regular season games, that which Fox, CBS, and NBC, and ESPN, ABC, and Amazon all paid for 10-year deals, why is it they don't get these games?
I think the literal answer to that is probably in the contract, where I'm sure the NFL has a clause to pull back something. Along with that, I'm just going to say this as an observer, not a lawyer. I didn't write the contract or anything like that. But my guess is the NFL had these earmarked for NFL Network. They're not putting them on NFL Network for this reason or that reason. And, you know, whatever it is they're doing right now with NFL Network, I'm not sure. But my guess is they were not a part of the negotiation.
Right. And that plus, was you'd be asking Cruz, for example, of camera people, sound people, truck people to work on Christmas Day. So, you know, there's that part too.
Yep. Yeah, I can see that. You know, however it is that they'll do that with whoever's cameras, I can't imagine Netflix is going to build out that audience. You know, they'll probably subcontract somebody's already doing it. That'll be interesting. Make a note of that for the future. I'm curious what they'll do with it, because if I remember correctly, when the NFL Network first came out, they were broadcasting games. It was a sight. I mean, they were not experienced. They really tried to do it on their own. You can get the broadcasters, talking about football. It's not real hard to get that, but that isn't right. The game. People don't understand how much is going on behind the scenes. And if you don't have an experienced crew that's working together, that has, that kind of boots on the ground level experience together, things get pretty messy. And it wouldn't surprise me if Netflix is going to try to do everything they can to avoid that and try to get somebody who's active already. But overall, yeah, I mean, they probably had their eyes set on this. Like I said, in some cases, it's smart to get the stability of the volume and give out the volume discount to have that 10-year commitment, have a company largely planning its entire strategy around your product. You're going to get the attention that you want with it. You can grow and bend and flex with a strategic partner. At the same time, though, that retail rate, those one-off mm-hmm. games, the a la carte method, I think there's value to that as well. I think the NFL has been asking themselves, what's the value of having this network in its current form when we could conceivably sell off individual games, provided the technology is available to keep the quality of the game that we're showing outstanding, and we don't have to pay for it and get even more per game than we do with our other rights partners. Now, does CBS like that? Does ESPN like that? Maybe, maybe not. I'm sure they would love to have a Christmas Day game, but the NFL probably smartly reserved major tentpole days like Christmas for their own use, and to be able to use that to get paid handsomely while experimenting with somebody else is a pretty good idea from a business perspective.
Mm. Okay. Last year when they did the schedule, there was a heavy emphasis, and there's a maximum number of primetime games you can get. And the Jets were, I think, one shy of it because of the Aaron Rodgers factor. And, of course, for the networks, every time the Jets were on after the opener with the Bills, there was no Aaron Rodgers. And we got to hear the Zach Wilson story over and over again. Right? Well, they're rolling the dice on them again. Are these the factors that make schedules so problematic for networks? Because, let's face it, you had a schedule built last year around a couple of guys, and he was one of them.
That's the inherent risk of that, but I found it funny. It's like, okay, we're for real this time. For real this time. I mean, the Jets are on primetime like 5 of the first 7 weeks or something, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure you want to put Aaron Rodgers on TV that much. I we'll see. We'll see. I do think the machinations that go on behind the scenes, I think we will hear about that in the coming years, if not immediately. But you have to think they're fighting tooth and nail over this. And the NFL, the NFL created this, I don't want to call it a problem, but the conflict that exists, to the point now where they've pretty much done away with, the affiliations with the conferences. It's not just Fox on NFC,
that's right.
CBS on AFC anymore. That's significant. It's something that people aren't going to really discuss and haven't really discussed. But all of that, I promise you, is just due to the perception. I don't even know if it's one way or the other, but to be realistic, there's a bit more action in the AFC right now than there is in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And if the broadcast rights partners are paying that much money, they want Aaron Rodgers games. It doesn't matter to them if they're playing somebody in the NFC or not. They want an Aaron Rodgers game. So at some point, they're going to have to say, look, we're going to end up doing this week by week and having a bidding process, putting this whole thing together. Is it a coincidence that the schedule came out later this year than it has any other year? I don't think it is. I think it's because that's what this has turned into now. And not that that's a bad thing. I'm not trying to claim conspiracy or anything. in a way, it's far more on them than it is the ravenous fan when the schedule comes out. They need to get things locked up, but until they can release the whole thing, they're not going to. So I think it came down to the 11th hour in a lot of ways of who's getting what game and where they're putting what. You know, it's they put so many Aaron Rodgers games on prime time, and I would imagine, I haven't looked at it real closely, any opportunity that you get to put Taylor Swift in your stadium and give the rights partner 3.5 hours of exclusive video content of Taylor Swift, whether she's walking or sitting in a stadium suite, I don't think it matters to them, but they want that. That's worth a ton of money, and they're paying a ton of money for it. So do they really care about Tennessee and Jacksonville this week? No, I don't care. Give that to another network. I want this game, and I want it on primetime. You know, this should be in this slot, whatever my primetime slot is, my most lucrative spot, that's where I want it. And you're having to really mitigate the argument between all of them, and they're bringing in more and more partners now. That process gets a lot more convoluted. And I think that's, you know, really why it is. It probably came out a good 2 weeks later than what we could have reasonably expected for it to have come out based on past schedule releases.
The reigning Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year is Cameron Hayward. Voluntary offseason workouts, no show. Does not have plan to attend OTAs because he wants a contract extension. This guy has been loyal to the organization. What's been your thought on, for the first time ever he's done this, what's been your thought about where he stands at this stage of his career with the Steelers?
I think in a way it's almost a double negative, because if the team doesn't want to give him an extension, what they're saying is that he's not the future leader for them. And if he's not a leader, I don't think that Cam Hayward and his Hall of Fame resume needs to be at OTAs. So call it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, the question to me is, do the Steelers want to pay him $16 million with no future in place with, in my opinion, an all-time player for the franchise? I don't think that's the right way to go about business with certain guys. You know, others, yeah, you got to make tough decisions. But Cam Hayward's been your bedrock for a long time. His contract is upside down. You know it is. If anything, I would have put money on the extension happening in March. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. It makes sense for both sides. Cam probably take a few bucks off to get another year. Maybe it's 2 years. However you want to do the deal, so he can make roughly what he's going to make this season and give you a reasonable opportunity to keep him next year as well, because the defensive line is young. They've added a bunch of pieces to it, pieces you should be excited about. I think Keanu Benton's a great young player. But they've missed on a lot of guys that they've tried to add into those spots as well. You know, they never really recovered in a lot of ways from Stephon Tuitt eventually retiring after taking a year off. You've got good run out of Larry Ogunjobi. I'm not sure how much longer you can really count on that happening. But they've got to get younger at the position, and they've definitely tried to do that. But bottom line, take age out of it. Watch Cam Hayward play last year and watch the rest of your defensive line. Are you telling me you don't need him? I don't think he's going to fall apart in a year. You need to get him in there, and you need to show the younger players, this is what we expect. This is who we want you to emulate. And we know that because the league just gave him what it says anyway is its most valuable trophy this offseason. Right. An award he was a finalist for, I don't know, 19 straight years or something like that. It was they finally gave it to him. Lifetime achievement, if anything, but he's earned that award several years, you know, not to you know, downplay the accomplishments of anyone else that they gave the Walter Payton Man of the Year award to, but Hayward was on that level and has been for a long time. To me, the extension is a no-brainer. The fact that it hasn't happened yet, if anything, I think it's more, we're not going to commit to it now. And in a lot of ways, too, the stuff they won't tell you about is they'd like to get a look at you in person. What that means is you show up to OTAs, let's see what kind of shape you're in. We're going to decide from afar whether or not we want to give you a contract. Hayward's been around. He's been a union rep. He's not going to fall for that kind of thing. So he's not going to go to OTAs. It's voluntary. I don't think that anybody's going to hold it against Cam Hayward to not be there. He doesn't need to be there in that sense. He needs to prepare himself for the season. I trust that Cam Hayward, of all people, knows how to do that by this point in his career. He deserves an extension. I think the team is smart to give him one for a lot of reasons. It's something I see getting done, but this is how the game is played. You know, you kind of have to do these things. You can't give up the leverage you have as a player. I don't anticipate that it would extend into training camp, but I would think a deal would get done probably closer to that. But if Hayward doesn't want to show up and let them, you know, see his 36-year-old self out there, I wouldn't blame him. I could see how that could be used against you. But put the film on and tell me the guy still is not playing at a high level in the NFL. They absolutely should give him the extension that he's earned. Give them some more security, because I don't see a path right now that they can guarantee that they wouldn't need them next year too. You may as well tack on a year, split the money up a little bit, give them something for next year, but give them some security. He's earned that.
Always a pleasure, whether it's the NFL or the T-Wolves. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Go Wolves. Thanks for having me, guys.
And Neil Kulong. And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, both with athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford and North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their spring SUV sales event. SMC has 17 of the iconic 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, and they are slashed up to $5,500, and they start from just $28,435. Sunbury Motors has the fuel-efficient Ford Escape discounted up to $4,000 and priced from only $29,935. Plus, qualified buyers get 0% financing. Choose from 28 new Ford Explorers, and SMC has them reduced to the lowest price ever offered. Just $39,770. Sunbury Motors has the roomy and reliable 2024 Ford Edge, discounted $4,500, and they are priced from only $37,565. With 0% financing for 48 months, Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealership, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. SMC is where you want to be in May for your next new SUV.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.